hand. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand.
I bet that's exactly what the Mackenzie household needs to launch themselves to a whole new
fantastic.
Exactly. It's strange, it gets it the first time I heard it. I cannot believe this, but there we are, Kathy Berberian, and I want to hold your hand.
It's pretty resonant of the Peter Sellers heart.
I did think so. I thought there were echoes of that came across, but clearly done in full operatic form.
That was terrific.
And if that doesn't get Kathy Berberian at least the chance of launching the Rugby World Cup, then I'll be a very surprised individual. But there we are. It's just a thought. Because you could hold... I want to hold your ball. Perhaps not. Anyway, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, very enjoyable.
So are you back again with us next week?
If you want to, so I'm there.
Yay!
Siren FM.
Excellent weather today. Highs of 20 degrees centigrade, lows of 12 degrees centigrade. The early patchy low cloud will lift to give a fine day with a good deal of bright sunshine.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
The excitement continues because after, obviously, the excitement of the longest reigning monarch in our history, the Rugby World Cup and so on, what gets even better is the fact that it's the Autumn International Harrogate Flower Show, the North of England Horticultural Society's annual extravaganza, and I use the word quite deliberately, of floral activities and a whole range of fantastic things coordinated by the legend that is show director Nick Smith. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. How are you?
Very good indeed. As I say, Rugby World Cup and giant cucumbers. What's not to love?
You couldn't get any better, could you, really?
And surely, what better way to actually practice your rugby ball playing skills than actually taking some of those giant vegetables, which to me is always a highlight of the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show.
I'm not entirely sure about a 20-storm pumpkin throwing that around a field, but the principle is there, isn't it?
It could be what actually sorts out the men from the boys when it comes to Fiji and America and so on. It's just a thought.
It certainly would.
The giant vegetable competition, as always, a classic. But the other unique selling point, as if there weren't many, of the autumn 2015 International Harrogate Flower Show, I keep saying international, well, it is international, is the fact that it's the only, I'll say that again, the only gardening event to offer autumn show gardens.
It is. We have a great range of Inspiration Street gardens. For those who visited us last year, we created a backdrop to a street, and we've got that again. We've done, due to popular demand, Alex, so it's back again. We've got a whole range of different show gardens on that area.
As the website alludes to, what to do with a small front garden. Many people struggle with the plot at the front of their house, and yet for some properties it makes up most of the outside space. Designers and estate agents often talk about curb appeal, but whatever you choose to call it, making the most of every bit of your garden becomes a real possibility with the right inspiration.
Absolutely true. When you think of how many spaces are just the dumping space for dustbins, recycling and maybe the occasional bicycle, it's such a waste when you consider what you could do with even the smallest of spaces.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing that very much comes across to me with respect to the Autumn Flower Show and the whole North of England Horticultural Society. It is the fact that even if you kind of go there thinking, I've got no green fingers, I can't cope with this, there's a whole range of really fascinating activities to just really inspire people to actually create, you know, some wonderful horticultural genius.
There absolutely is. I mean, we've started a program called How To, and it's really the most basic of basic things in sense of how to prune an apple tree, how to divide your borders in winter. You know, things that people are sometimes a little bit scared of, but are actually very straightforward if you know how to do it.
There is, of course, the Live Cookery Theatre, which, as ever, will be replete with delicious seasonal dishes. And it is the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, as we say, where we start thinking about maybe a bit of comfort food, but healthy comfort food as well.
A whole range of. It ties in very well with our Harvest and Hedgerows theme, which for autumn includes things like foraging, things like getting the best from the land. We've got people talking about how to make sort of preserves and jams from things like rose hips, from things like rowan berries. You know, quite unusual things, but are actually very common in the countryside, and we could do more with.
Earlier in the day, Arthur Mackenzie alluded to the fact that maybe with the sheer size of giant vegetables, there could be sort of various steroids being used. And various, I couldn't possibly comment. It's not weightlifting, but £6,000 on offer for any of the giant vegetable packages. That's quite an incentive for certainly next year if you're looking for that. But the whole notion of the grower who could set a new world record with a beefsteak tomato, a gigantamo, basically.
That's right. The £6,000, it's £1,000 if the gigantamo tomato, which is a specific variety from Van Meuwen seeds, if that variety actually is the biggest in show, then the winner will take £1,000 home. If it actually breaks the world record for the heaviest tomato, which I think is around 7.5 pounds at the moment, then it will actually break it and win £6,000, which is a huge amount of money.
And as we also say, the current record of Tony Glover, who actually set this at last year's autumn show, 8.5 kilograms, 18 pounds, 11.84 ounces.
That's the onion. That's our heavy onion. which itself is an absolute monster when you think about
it. It's eye-watering in more ways than one. You don't even have to peel that to actually talk about that system.
It would make huge onion rings, I'm sure.
Exactly. Don't get me started on the onion song and a whole heap of other things from that point of view. So tomatoes and onions, genius stuff with that. Exhibitors, of course, a key part of the show as well. It is a real opportunity for people to find out really some expert information about what the best seeds are to plant, how they can be planted effectively, and other aspects as well, no doubt.
It is. We're very proud here at Harrogate of offering what we consider is a very horticultural show, and to that extent, anyone who's involved in gardening in any shape, way or form can come along and get inspiration, get advice, and learn more just about what there is to offer. There are so many products as well, things that you might not have thought about, strange plant supports, unusual sculptures, different composts. It's all there, and it's a great opportunity for people to come along and explore those things.
The very nature of being lost in a sea of over 5,000 blooms in Britain's biggest exhibition by specialist garden groups could be seen as either bliss or a nightmare. But it's fair to say that certainly with nearly 20 different gardening societies involved, everything from delphiniums to carnations to chrysanthemums, roses, of course, gladioli, and, of course, the Yorkshire Bonsai Society, it's always good for the international theme as well. There's a lot of colour on show for the Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show. Dare I say, people often think autumn, it's autumnal weather and so on, but I think it matches the sensational spring flower show that, of course, is replete with colour as well.
It is. I think we're very lucky in that we have the spring flower show, which very much begins the season for a lot of growers, and then we have the autumn flower show, which sort of closes. And the autumn flower show we see very much of a celebration of what's gone on for this year and looking forward to what we need to do for next. So we're able to cover both sides of it, really, which is a great opportunity.
I might possibly be not quite in the target age range for the excitement of Pod. What a pity, but never mind. But the fact of Pod and his exciting adventures to find out more about plants and gardenings and gardening activities is a great thing for small young adults.
It absolutely is. We're very pleased that Pod's able to join us. Pod is our mascot for all things active around the show.
Yeah. It's not an iPod, just in case you're wondering. You can't press a button and suddenly get all sorts of music on the whole thing. You get healthiness from that point of view. That's what Pod brings to the whole thing.
You do. Pod is our miniature peapod, and he's actually available to buy as a little soft toy. And he's a lovely, lovely thing. He really is.
And I think I will actually be looking to purchase a Pud Coddly toy, a snip at £4.95. It's amazing. But the Spot the Pea competition, and we're talking about green garden peas, by the way, in case you're thinking, what? Is a classic in its own sort of routine. So, you know, for folk of all ages, you know, there's something over the days of the events to really sort of have a fantastic time with, and this is the stunner, Nick. I mean, we leave this to the under 16s go free. I'll say that again, under 16s go free when accompanied by an adult.
They certainly do. And that's part of, we realise that horticulture, we need to look to the future as well for our future horticulturalists. So we want to encourage as many young people to come along and join us, which is why, as well as Pod and the activities that Pod's got going on, we've got a whole range of other activities as well. We've got a man doing traditional pole lathe turning in the harvest and hedgerows area, which is a great sort of hands-on opportunity for people to look at and get involved with. We've got corn dollies being made over in harvest and hedgerows as well. There's a whole range of different opportunities that people can take part in. Any age, doesn't matter whether you're six or whether you're 60, everyone's welcome.
There was a time a few years ago where people were thinking nobody can actually sort of outdo the Wondertrust that Martin Fish has put together and the whole range of things. Nick, you're just taking that baton and you've just taken it to a whole new level. It's phenomenal. Is it the team? Is it a case of you've got ruthless Jose Mourinho style management techniques? What's the secret, Nick?
It's absolutely the team around us. It's the team that we have, and as well as that, it's the exhibitors, and of course, it's the visitors, because the visitors allow us to do this year after year. And if they keep coming back, then we're always very happy.
Which makes sense. And indeed, a hats off as well to Camilla, who does some sensational work in terms of public relations and looks after the press folk in her own unique, inimitable way, it has to be said. Which is great stuff there. Moving on, in terms of the show itself, we'll possibly have a couple of young reporters as well coming up to see. I certainly intend to be there probably for the Saturday, actually, because it's one of those crazy things where we start the whole academic year and we've got freshers and all sorts of things happening on the whole thing, so we're hopeful we'll get there beforehand, but Saturday would be a definite, I think, at this stage. What are you most looking forward to yourself? Is it going to be the weigh-ins of the vegetables? Will it be a case of the floral art? Will it be the autumn show gardens, or is it just a case of I just love everything?
Do you know what? It sounds a bit sad to say, but I do. I love it all. There's not a bit of it that I think, oh crikey, not that. There is so much here and so much for people to see that I hope that they enjoy it as much as we do.
So, can people still book tickets for the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show online?
They can indeed. They can book online at www.flowershow.org.uk. Alternatively, they're able to buy tickets on the gate as well.
We talked about the international elements. I suspect that this is becoming more and more a must-see part of British culture, really, for overseas visitors, etc. Are you seeing an increase in terms of people saying, yes, it's all very well being in Chelsea, but that is London, and we have to cope with so many sort of challenges there. Let's check out Harrogate and its Autumn Flower Show.
Well, we're very lucky because actually we have our exhibitors come from all over Europe. It's not just the UK. We have exhibitors from Holland. We have exhibitors from France and Germany. So those exhibitors come across and they bring with them an audience as well. So we see ourselves very much as an international show, and that's very much felt in some of the things that we have to offer as well.
Nick, it has, as always, been an absolutely splendiferous piece. I feel as though a year in the life and times of Nick Smith is going to emerge for 2015-2016, and we'll hopefully make you a more regular contributor, as opposed to the sort of twice-yearly pieces, where we do a piece before the Spring Flower Show, a piece before the Autumn Flower Show. It's just, we can't get... The public are demanding more, Nick Smith. That's the classic line. So, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
As ever, of course I have, Alex.
And I take it we can look forward to connecting with you at the event itself and hopefully, as I say, resuming contacts as we look ahead, of course, to, yes, inevitably, don't wish your life away, but no, the Spring Flower Show is emerging for 2016. It's on the horizon, Ian, as we speak.
It is indeed.
You will return.
Thank you, Alex.
Senses and the sun is shining down on the blossoms in the avenue. There's a buzzing fly hanging around the bluebells and the daisies. There's a lot more love in her left in.
We have a UFO sighted over Northampton.
And that was the joy of energy in Northampton, a town on planet Earth where aliens can be free. Isn't that right, William Sitwell?
Yeah, whatever you say.
Energy in Northampton. Before we move into brunches, let's celebrate the favourite sports story of the year, the sports story of the year, from the Northampton Chronicle and Echo, which of course features a certain Albert Sitwell. Give praise where it's due, William. Success, triumph, and Alex and Albert catch the eye at finals day in tennis. Share with us, William.
Well, that's very kind of you to raise that. Yes, he won the 12 and under singles for the Northamptonshire County Close.
Hey.
So it was a very fiercely fought battle, and he beat a boy much taller than him, about a year and a half older, so he did very well.
As we like to say, William, take that, Andy Murray. William Sitwell's son, Albert, is on the case. Anyway, it'll happen. I know it will. Great stuff there. We'll play the full version of Linda Jardim's Energy in Northampton at a later date. Unless, of course, you're familiar with Linda's brave UFO attempts to focus on energy in Northampton. There we are. It could actually give you a whole new reappraisal for musical activities and so on. Looking back as well, another sensational food festival, whilst we were watching the Germans triumph at Burley and yet again didn't manage to cross over to the Northampton Food Festival, I'm sure that happiness was had and joy was literally unbounded at another successful event.
It was, yeah. Well, there were two that I opened. One in Lower Sweden in Weston, and then I attended the Holdenby Food Festival the next day, which is at this beautiful house that people may have seen in Great Expectations. And they have an annual food and craft fair, and I hosted a debate in the tent with Matt Tebbett, who's the Channel 4 chef, a man who runs Warner Edwards, which is a local gin, and a few other local producers. And we discussed how local food culture was growing in our county and how you can support local businesses and so on. So that was good. Yep.
And I said this last year, of course, so people will say, you promised to actually take an audio production team to actually do a special audio postcard for the village of Lincoln there last year. You can say it about 2016, but I'll say, hopefully, touch wood, we will gear it, we will look to... I'll say to the Burley people, look, enough, we'll do one of the days at Burley and then we'll come back to it because our Northampton team needs us. Or not, as the case may be.
Yeah, it's what Lincoln deserves.
Yeah. Quite rightly. Of course, when it comes to BH, of course, we're talking about the notion of brunch, BH, Radio 4, etc. You were there again, BBC Radio 4, the 6th of September, the Sunday Morning Magazine programme, of course, with Paddy O'Connell, when he's not sitting in for Jeremy Vine on another station. So is there no place for the B word in your vocabulary, William?
Well, there's no place for it in my daily timetable. I don't understand when, I like to get up for breakfast. That's when grown-ups get up, have a bowl of cornflakes, or have a meeting, do some work. And then I might have a biscuit or a cup of coffee at 11, then I have lunch at 1. Who knows, I might have a piece of cake at 4 and then dinner at 8. But if you have brunch, which is, no one quite knows where it came from. It might have American origins. Some say that it derives from 19th century sort of buffet-style dining. But obviously brunch comes from the burr from breakfast and the unch from lunch. But you put them together and what happens is you ruin the whole dining timetable for the rest of the day. Because if you eat a full meal at 11:30, you then can't have lunch, right? And then it means you're hungry, so you have to eat too much at about 5. And then you don't have dinner. And what happens is people then don't join together. We don't break bread together. And, families don't speak. We get a culture of malaise, world pieces.
Potentially, it's even more challenging because, let's face it, George Peppard and Audrey Hepburn didn't star in Brunch at Tiffany's, did they?
Yeah, no, exactly. It wasn't Brunch at Tiffany's.
Exactly.
You're quite right.
You didn't have super...
But the other thing is, you've got... What happens, of course, is chefs, they're finding another way, and restaurateurs of, getting more money because they can serve breakfast, then they can get people in for brunches. But brunch tends to be... Or gives the chef the opportunity of clearing out his fridge, anything from avocados or crab or whatever he's got left in from the week, and then all you have to do is drizzle it with some sort of chillified hollandaise and serve it up on cocotte, put a bit of truffle oil and gruyere on the top and calls it brunch, and then comes with a rather high price tag.
And Supertramp in their album, it wasn't brunch in America. So the fact of the matter is, culturally, we've got big issues here that you can't rewrite the whole thing. I'm afraid.
None of the great impressionists, featured brunch in their paintings. No. There was Dejeuner to your love.
Exactly.
Brunch in America. Yeah. Yeah. Supertramp didn't do that. No one's. Brunch doesn't have the depth that artists will represent it in any medium. But I'm afraid we're being, I think I'm on a losing wicket. I'm being carried away on a tide of brunch. Everyone's eating brunch. People are getting up late. And so I think it's probably a losing battle, but I won't stop fighting to ban it.
And we will support you on that one, William, as we did with the square plates issue, because these campaigns that the public needs to be aware
brunch,
of.
Brunch on a square plate. I mean, it's hell, isn't it?
you could take, you know, the worst possible result from the upcoming Rugby World Cup and say that couldn't match with the whole sort of sequence of the whole sort of amazing. Moving onwards, dexterously, of course, next week sees the return to the Midweek Drive morning edition of our Midweek Drivettes, Emma Tinson from Surrey and Jessica Ward from the Isle of Man. So that's exciting. Eva would have been here today. She sends her best, but she's a bit poorly. Just overworking on the whole thing, stress and strain and all the rest of the bits and pieces. But, you, of course, for people who want more Sitwell magic and have already listened to the William Sitwell podcasts, which are, of course, available from the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com site of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, they can get even more, William, by listening to you on Soho Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the show's going, you know, from strength to strength. We're having pretty good guests on, yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember who we had on.
It's all wondrous. That's the important
thing. I had a fantastic guest, Theo Kyriakou. He was the man that really changed the face of sort of Greek cuisine in this country. He opened the Real Greek about 15 years ago, turned it into a chain of restaurants. But we had him on. His story is amazing. He came over and so wanted to get into the restaurant world in his early 20s. He worked for free as a chef de partie, but couldn't afford to have any accommodation, so he lived under a Victorian embankment, under the bridge. For 2 years he was homeless, and now he's a very successful restaurateur. So we had him on, and we had Panos Manouilidis, who's his business partner at the Greek Larder. He's opened a new Greek restaurant called the Greek Larder. So
inspirational, William.
And you can listen again to that on, if you look for my show on the Mixcloud. If you retweet it on Twitter, you'll win dinner for two at Mole on Great Titchfield Street. So tell the listener.
And is that at your own retweeting site of Sitwell on Twitter? What's your handle, so to speak?
Well, at William Sitwell, or better, at Soho Radio. Look for the Biting Talk link to the Mixcloud, and you can win dinner for two. All you've got to do is retweet the link to the Mixcloud.
Well,
that simple.
I think, you know, we shall do that forthwith, although obviously I would be forbidden to enter, because clearly it just wouldn't work on that basis. William...
No, anyone can enter. We have no rules.
On
Soho Radio, there are no rules.
How frightfully anarchic, as Henry Blofeld might have said at the start of the programme. On the show today, Henry Blofeld launched with his cricketing correspondents, as ever, Richard Fitzwilliams, Arthur McKenzie, Nick Smith from the North of England Horticultural Society. We're gearing up for that, of course, in a week's time. Not only is it the start of the Rugby World Cup, it's also the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show, and we have got some literally eye-watering numbers for the giant tomatoes and onions, which I will share with you hopefully next week, William, which presupposes the answer to two questions that we're going to head to now before we touch base once again with Emma Tinson, who will be giving us some reflections and thoughts on the show from her Surrey base. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning, William Sitwell?
I think reasonable sums it up.
Yeah, that's well. That's the important thing. Energy in Northampton. We might play the full version of that for you in the near future, but perhaps not now. And will you return next week?
I will. Made in Northampton is the other big thing. That's what we like to.
Right.
We like to support our local producers a bit and give them energy.
That's the way forward. You know, as Deep Blue Something would have said, not brunch at Tiffany's by any stretch of the imagination.
You'll say we've got nothing in common. No common ground to
think. I remember the film, and as I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing we got.
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward and other Midweek Drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
quite right, Rachel. So there we are. Check out the latest views of your good self, Emma. We need to hear those dulcet tones for the Surrey listener and beyond, of course, before the exciting news that you're going to be back in the studio, in the house, in the Siren Airwave Zone Centre, whatever you wish to call it, next Thursday.
I am indeed. I'm very much looking forward to being back.
In some senses,
it's so strange listening to the show and not being in the studio. It's
well,
very odd.
Having said that, Emma, I mean, you were a key part of the location report at the National Portrait Gallery in London. So, you know, we've kind of, it's not as though you've been away totally. And you have obviously been there as our critical audience in Surrey, you know, with the entire Tinson household gearing up to provide comments on the production. So, you know,
I've been involved.
Yeah, we like to feel that much like the North of England Horticultural Society, we're growing together. That's the important thing. Growing together in that whole developmental side of things. Anyway, you've been tuned in since not Henry Blofeld in the very early era of the whole thing, but since Richard Fitzwilliams did his epic, and let's face it, even Richard, when we were saying our farewells in the phone thing, it was a bit too long, because I said, Richard, it was Her Majesty's official longest reign record-breaking scenario. How could we not actually provide a certain amount of space for your good self to share your thoughts on the whole issue? But you've moved on from that. So, Emma, the floor is now yours for the classic Emma Tinson, Leonis Light overview of the programme.
Well, I think it's been a fantastic programme.
Oh.
Of course, for those listening to the podcast, if they do want a sort of royal review,
of course,
which is very long.
It was almost as though he was going for the record himself in many ways.
I know. But yes, that was fantastic. And then I really enjoyed the talk about the Horticultural Society and growing giant vegetables.
It is quite astounding. I mean, the key thing is, Emma, will you be able to join us a week on Saturday and make your way up to Harrogate? We've had several false starts before, because I know you've said, I've never been quite as far north as Harrogate in that particular instance. Will you be looking for that, or will it be a case of, my word, that'll just be literally days after I return to Lincoln? We'll wait and see. We'll put that in the patent pending file. It's a possibility.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Well,
the time. Well, exactly.
But no, I love sort of gardening and stuff. When I was a lot younger and I had more time on my hands, I loved doing stuff in the garden. Mm. And I tried growing pumpkins, and I was actually successful, which I was amazed at. I did get pumpkins, not very big ones, about the size of the fist, maybe. But then I went out shopping for the day, and I came home, and a horrible slug had eaten them all. So I was very upset.
Well, the slug was obviously very happy. I mean, let's look at the positive side of things here. You know, it might well have destroyed your sort of notion of, but what am I to do for Halloween now? But fundamentally, you had a very, very happy and contented slug. So, you know, it's worth noting. I mean, those sizes, I mean, I'm looking at the flower show as well now in terms of the website, just to check that they are actually correct and accurate, because if we look at the giant vegetable competition that's actually there, reminder, of course, there's £6,000 on offer if you can actually set a new world record with a Gigantamo beefsteak tomato. Invasion of the Gigantamos. Sounds like a movie that needs to be made. Two world records, of course, set last year. But as far as onions are concerned, an onion which weighs in at 18 pounds. 18 pounds, 11.84 ounces. It's astounding. It's as astounding as we've even got a mystery voice to actually sort of test you, Emma Tinson, to see whether, you know, this notion about, well, I'm part of the whole thing and I'll be back next week. Let's see if you can identify mystery voice. Mystery voice. For Emma Tinson, would you like to say a few words?
I would. Giant vegetables. The mere mention of giant vegetables and odd-shaped vegetables and flower competitions where they have to be a certain size and a certain specification, and they take it really seriously.
Exactly.
Just had to come in and have a look and see what it was all about.
Yeah, well, that was soon. Maybe you might be able to join us on our little vert journey a week on Saturday. Who knows? We might even get the Rice family there, but Harrogate, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
She's just got dissertations to work through. I might have given away the mystery country voice there in direct comedian. Yeah, who could it be, Emma?
Hi, Emma.
How are you?
Hang on. Just
it's the headphone thing, Emma. You know, it's for the benefit of the listener, you know, there are things that you can always spot radio people because they're always looking to put their headphones on. Charlie's acceptable, as in Charlie Chan's cans, but I think we're sorted now. So, yes. Go,
sir. Far away, Emma. What did you say?
I was saying, how are you?
It was a deep question.
Well, I'm not so bad. It is the beginning of the morning, and yes, I've managed to make my way into university perfectly fine. So yes, not so bad. I've got a lot of words to write, but other than that.
A little update on the traffic incident that we actually reported on through the whole sequence. Well, it hasn't been cleared, obviously, by 8:15 a.m., which, curious enough, was what was predicted online. Of course, our very own Jeff Thompson, host of The Breakfast Show and guru of traffic and travel. And indeed, John Wenham, who was actually, he beat Jeff today. Mm-hmm. John burst in. I didn't actually give the acknowledgement for the source at the time, but it was John Wenham who burst into the studio like some kind of crazed, maniacally possessed umpire and said, there's a major incident. And of course there was. The A46 in Lincoln, partially blocked and heavy traffic southbound at Risehome roundabout because of an overturned lorry. There's congestion. That's a Risehome roundabout, in case you're wondering. We'll help graduation, but of course,
everything's fine down Toolbridge Lane and across Burton Road.
There we are, you see, Sue. You know, because you've just been through that.
Just done it.
You know, you've done that mojo, as we like to refer to it. Mobile journalism in action. As we said, Emma, it does sound as though you've got a sock over your mobile phone. Is this a deliberate approach that you've actually taken this morning? Or did you think, no?
My signal might be slightly bad because my house is actually surrounded by lots and lots of trees, so the signal is never.
Oh, that will be it, Emma. That'll be it.
Well, Emma, you know what you should do. Go to the roof of the house. It's quite simple. Get out a ladder and just say to any concerned people, I'm doing my media work. It's what they expect of me when I do my placement at BBC Surrey. You know? Exactly. Other than that, we've got to ask the question, did you survive Covent Garden yesterday and did you get back safely?
I did. I was fine. I didn't actually spend too long in Covent Garden. I was sort of passing through when he rang me. But I spent most of the evening on South Bank and I went out for a lovely meal on there. And it was lovely being in the city at night time because I didn't often get that opportunity.
It's very scary as well, actually, if you have to be... Yes. Well, maybe not as scary as Lincoln at night, but anyway, sorry, Lincoln, it's the way forward. As we said, we wish all our graduates all the very best today as they officially graduate. He's been doing it for the last three or four. Andrew David, of course, he's been working his little socks off. He's 12 warm-up scenarios he's been doing. It's amazing, but he's kept going.
He's up and down steep hill like a yo-yo this week.
I'm glad you said yo-yo as opposed to other sort of aspects we could have used, but there we are. Emma, we've worked our way through the giant vegetables, through Richard Fitzwilliams and the royal celebrations and so on. Any other thoughts you'd like to share with us in the remaining few moments of the programme today?
Well, for podcast listeners, I would highly recommend listening to the lovely William Sitwell because he's always fantastic, I think. But I have to say, I am a fan of brunch. So
me too.
I wasn't very pleased by what he was saying today. But I found it interesting because I was going to say, when does breakfast end and brunch begin? Because, you know, people get up at different times and, you know, it varies, I suppose.
My usual rule of thumb, Emma, is that if I, in the rare occasions that I am not up and out by 9 o'clock,
highly unlikely,
then usually if I haven't had breakfast by 10 o'clock, then I'll push on till 11 o'clock and that will be brunch.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I can't have it in the sort of in between. No one has anything to eat at 10. It's an odd time. So I think you're right. I think before 9 or... after 11, I think.
Yeah, I have to stand with William on this. It's not brunch at Tiffany's. It's not Supertramp and brunch in America. It's not, you know, Deep Blue something and brunch. It's, you know, these are fundamental sort of challenges that we're faced with in the 21st century, the likes of which, when Charles ascends to the throne, he's going to have to cope with. It's a line, you know, the brunch question, which could be sort of echoing all sorts of other people there. Quick little leg up for the fact that, Sue, of course, you're back with us again later today in the Siren airwaves, because between the times of 7 and 8 p.m. this evening, or technically 7.02 p.m. and 8 p.m., it's Sound and Nick's Vision Volume 10.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous. It's treat.
Exactly. And Volume 10 is even more wonderful, if it's possible, than Volume 9.
It is. I always enjoy doing them. They're always a really good laugh.
Exactly. So there we are. So Sound
and Nick's
Vision.
I can't believe you're up to Volume 10 already.
Yeah. One a month. That series started 10 months ago.
You pick so many good tunes. Nick has a eclectic mix of taste, but he's got so many. What we actually put on air is only a
fraction,
small
board
of
a very tiny, tiny
sort
of piece.
Got.
Exactly. Yeah. But yes, that will be happening there. And it has to be said, Emma, the next Sound and Nick's Vision recordings will be taking place in the first Saturday of October.
Well,
yeah, I know.
To that.
It's such a packed out schedule in all sorts of ways. It's even been a schedule. I've actually asked our wonderful Gary Stevens to get on the case, because the latest timetable suggests that if it all goes according to what is said down at present, at this moment in time, not only will I be doing the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but I'll also be teaching Origins of Modern Britain. It's not going to work. I can do a lot, but doing a Midweek Drive Morning Edition
You've
second hour.
You've worked out to be in two places
and,
at once?
And wow. Doing Origins of Modern Britain, you know, seminar. I mean, unless, of course, we invited them all in here, we just don't know. No, there might be a few journalists in level two who don't want to have that experience of radio, you know?
Have you never heard the phrase, many a true word spoken in jest?
Yeah, anyway, so but hopefully our guru of timetabling will sort that thing through. And if of course, you have no connection with the university whatsoever, well, that's just a little snippet, a smidgen, a bit like Chris Evans would put out a smidgen of his personal life, etc. So I just bowl that out there from that particular perspective. Suffice it to say, next week the return of Emma Tinson, that's all scheduled. It's fresh as a week next week as well, so it's all going to be wonderful stuff. And why are we talking about this on Siren FM? Because we're based at the University of Lincoln. We are Lincoln's first community radio station with studios at the University of Lincoln. There we are. Marvellous. It's all sorted through there. Sue, any questions you want to put to Emma about life, the universe, or why we can't really have the madness our house in the middle of our street, because it's not our house in the middle of our trees?
No. When are you coming back, Emma? And what are you looking
forward
to?
Every week Sue says this. Emma, when are you coming back?
What are you looking forward to coming back from your deepest, darkest wood?
Yeah, sorry.
Of course, I'm coming back actually a week. Oh, yes. So I'm coming back on Wednesday next week. But I'm coming back in the evening, so I'm going to possibly try and run and make it for the second half of
Oof, my word, this challenge is there. Jessica's already put her line down that her marker's going to be there. She'll be across from
I see some
there.
Annika Rice-esque thing going on here.
Clearly.
Yes.
But I will definitely at least be in for next week's morning show, which I'm very excited about. I'm very excited to get back in the studio because the frustrating thing I have when I'm at home is listening to all the lovely guests that we have on. And I have these questions that I want to ask.
Emma, that's never stopped Penny Evans. You just use your Facebook, you type it in. You know, we'll read it out. we're more than happy to actually take inserts when people wish to actually communicate. And you've even got my personal text message as well, so you can always send a text. Amazing. Or just use studio at Siren Online. That's it. It's a wrap for today. So, Emma, have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have. It's been lovely.
And what's the next question, Sue?
Will you be joining us again next week?
I do believe so.
Yay! Thanks to Henry Blofeld. Literally the name that Ian Fleming used for Ernst Stavro Blofeld in the Bond series. I hadn't realised that, but that's the Henry Blofeld tale. He's sticking with it, and that's it. My dear old thing. Richard Fitzwilliams, Arthur McKenzie, Nick Smith from the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show, William Sitwell and Emma Tinson. Have you enjoyed your little segment of the programme then too?
I have, yes. It's
very good. Always good to see you. Exactly. We'll go and grab a coffee and sort out all sorts of things. Sue's going to sort of just delight me with revealing her fully completed master's postgraduate dissertation. I can tell because she can read my mind. That's it. We're out of here. See, bye-bye, Sue and Emma. A one, a two, a three.
Bye-bye.